Coming up on KSDP News, an earthquake shakes ATCA, and Alaska legislators gavel in a second special session. Also, a story on the Lady Eagles b-ball season. Stay tuned. Good afternoon. You're listening to KSDP 8:30 a.m. Sandpoint. I'm Marissa Williams with some local news on June 19th, 2017. Scientists have had a hard time monitoring Bogoslaw volcano since it started erupting in December. Without on-site equipment on the Aleutian volcano, it's been difficult to predict eruptions. Alaska's Energy Desk's Zoe Sobel reports now scientists have set up some new equipment to bolster the monitoring network.
No one lives on Bogoslaw. The closest human neighbors are 60 miles away in Unalaska. Because the island is so small, scientists don't have equipment on the volcano. They monitor it from afar, and they've had a lot to monitor lately. The volcano has erupted more than 40 times since December. Geophysicist John Lyon says there aren't many volcanoes like Bogoslaw in the world, so he doesn't want to miss anything.
So the interesting thing about the eruption at Bogoslaw is that it's erupting underwater, and then the eruption breaks the surface and goes into the atmosphere.
Lyons installed two hydrophones underwater near the island. They're essentially microphones that listen and record seismic waves during an eruption.
You know, right now we can only detect the most energetic activity from the volcano. And so hopefully with these two instruments that are much closer, we'll be able to detect and understand and study the eruption in much more detail.
Lyon says these recordings are unprecedented. Because the hydrophones are so close and in the water column, they're especially good at registering the low-level activity at Bogoslaw that the faraway monitoring network has missed. He'll have to wait a while to study them, though, since the hydrophones don't transmit their data. But there's another piece of equipment volcanologist Alexa Van Eaton has installed that will help right away. They track lightning, including volcanic lightning, which happens when static electricity builds up in ash clouds.
Unlike ground shaking and unlike acoustic energy, which can happen even when there's not a lot of ash getting to the atmosphere, lightning is unique to ash. And that's relevant because it's important for aviation hazards and communities like Dutch Harbor, which could be downwind.
The new sensors are part of a global lightning system called the Worldwide Lightning Location Network. The stronger network makes it easier to warn pilots that eruptions are underway, and it could help scientists understand if lightning at Bogoslaw means there's a lot of ash in the atmosphere and planes should avoid the area. For now, the scientists are relishing every bit of eruptive activity at Bogoslaw. The more it erupts, the more they can learn. For Alaska's Energy Desk, I'm Zoe Sobel in Unalaska.
An earthquake struck 50 miles southeast of ATCA last week. According to the United States Geological Survey, there were no reports of damage resulting from the magnitude 5.4 quake. The Aleutians are a hotbed of seismic activity because they mark the convergence of two seismic plates. The Aleutian Pribilof Island Community Development Association is at full strength after adding two new members to their leadership team. Grant Merrick is APITCA's first chief operating officer in 2 years. He's previously worked as APITCA's director of seafood. Luke Fanning is new to the organization and steps in as chief financial officer. APITCA's executive director, Larry Cotter, is optimistic about the new team.
I think, quite frankly, that we have the very best senior management team that we've ever had.
APITCA allocates federal fishing quota to Bering Sea villages and invests in local economies. For 2017, APITCA divided nearly 1.3 billion pounds of quota between ATCA, Accutan, False Pasque, Nikolski, St. George, and Nelson Lagoon. Alaska's government is ecking closer to a shutdown since the legislature still has not passed an operating budget. When the special session ended last week, Governor Bill Walker immediately called legislators back for another. APRN's Andrew Kitcherman has more.
There were 8 items on the first special session. The full legislature only passed the budget for mental health before both chambers adjourned. Governor Bill Walker says he is asking the legislature to take these items in a more measured way, starting with only the operating budget.
I received a lot of input from around the state from businesses, from business people. Some actually came to Juneau to talk to me, to ask me, please, please, put one issue, put the operating budget on the call.
Walker says his priority is to stop a state government shutdown, which will occur on July 1st if there's no budget. He says it's important not just to prevent pink slips to government workers, but to prevent harm to private industries that depend on public services.
Now, commercial fishing is an example. They spent a lot of money getting ready for the season. And someone said to me, they said, obviously, who hadn't commercial fish, said, well, if they lose 10 days, what's the problem? That might be the 10 days that the fish are there. And so any day, any minute that's lost during commercial season is very, very critical.
The second special session began shortly after 1 p.m. Friday, after the Senate adjourned the first special session. The Senate adjourned after budget negotiations broke down and the House combined the operating and capital budgets in a move condemned by the Senate majority and House minority. Dillingham Democratic House Speaker Bryce Edgman says it's important that the legislature not only passes a budget, but also passes a plan that brings how much the state spends in line with the money the government brings in. He says he doesn't want to fight the same battle next year.
Look into the calendar year 2018 and an election year, a political environment that's going to be much more complicated than it is this year. You sort of put all those factors together and, you go, why wouldn't we take decisive action now?
Senate leaders expressed frustration that the House didn't negotiate through Friday and instead passed a combined budget Thursday night. They knew the Senate wouldn't pass. But Senate Finance Co-Chairman Lyman Hoffman, a Bethel Democrat, says there's time to avoid a shutdown.
Let's focus on the people of Alaska instead of trying to get other items onto the agenda that are not on the agenda. Let's close this down and let's get the people's business done.
But the divisions and animosity run deep. House members accuse the Senate of not negotiating. In particular, Homer Republican Representative Paul Seaton says the House offered a 1.5% flat tax on employment and self-employment income. This was less than half the size of the original tax the House passed, but the Senate rejected it. Walker says he still wants the legislature to consider other issues after it passes an operating budget. Those include the capital budget and a long-term budget plan, as well as a new source of revenue like a broad-based tax. And Walker expressed disappointment the legislature didn't agree on a bill intended to reduce opioid overdose deaths after both chambers passed different versions of the bill. These items could be added to the special session later or addressed in a future special session. Walker says he also wants a budget for capital projects passed within a month, as soon as July 1st as possible. In Juneau, I'm Andrew Kitchenman.
Also from Juneau, a quick preview on the permanent fund dividend lawsuit being heard tomorrow in AK Supreme Court. KTOO's Jeremy Heiss has more.
The Alaska Supreme Court is hearing oral arguments on Tuesday, June 20th, in a case that could have a huge effect on the value of your permanent fund dividend and what options our elected officials have in deciding how permanent fund earnings are spent. Live Gavel Alaska coverage of Willikowski versus State of Alaska begins at 1:30 p.m. on 360 North Television, 360north.org, and your local public radio station.
And now we have a story about the Lady Eagles basketball season. The Sandpoint Lady Eagles basketball team won second place in the 2017 regionals and earned their right to go to state at the Alaska Airlines Center in Anchorage last March. This moment is significant to the community of Sandpoint because it's the first time since 1987 that the Lady Eagles made it to state. The community is buzzing with praise and pride for their local team. Coach Emil Mobeck knows why basketball is so important in Sandpoint.
It gathers the whole community together.
The Lady Eagles returned from state in 10th place. They didn't bring home a big trophy, but stirred up enough town pride to have Mayor Glenn Gardner propose an official Lady Eagles Day to the City Council, which was approved and set for April 14th. Senior Lady Eagle Madison Thompson shares how it felt to reach her goal of going to state.
You know, even at a young age, when you're in Little Dribblers, you're looking up at the walls and seeing all the banners and saying, someday you want to do that. And you work every single day in that gym to get to that point.
Not having a consistent basketball program growing up could have made it harder for the girls to reach the level they have, but that didn't stop them from working hard to improve every season until this year. Thompson knew they were ready and could meet their goal.
I'd say the best part about going to state was when we first walked on the Alaska Airlines court. It was like surreal.
After coaching the Lady Eagles for a few seasons, Coach Mobeck reflects on that day.
State was great. We had got there, and boy, it was more than what we even imagined, you know. And it was really great to be out there on the court instead of sit in the, you know, stands and watch, you know, the other teams and going, man, we should have been here.
Thompson graduated this year and has advice to upcoming ball players.
Just be coachable, I think. When your coach tells you to do something, you take it to heart because he really wants you to get better. And I mean, I think just being coachable will help you when you grow up, being employable and those sort of things.
Even though basketball season is over, the hype over what these girls have accomplished hasn't died down. We can expect to hear the Lady Eagles' name more and more.
It's been a great pleasure to, you know, coach these wonderful girls to, you know, being able to make it to our goal to state. And now the next goal is not just to make it there, but to win it.
In Sandpoint, I'm Marissa Williams. And that's the news from Sandpoint. I'm Marissa Williams, and you're listening to KSDP 830 AM.